Bo Hess.
And now the end is near.
Bo
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Murray has just started to peruse it. There's a story on the Boston Globe website that just landed a few minutes ago, titled "Bill Belichick Curbs Privileges of Tom Brady's Associate Alex Guerrero." That has just landed on the Boston Globe website, so Murray's going to give it a quick look here while we continue with your phone calls. And you want to talk Pats, you want to talk Celtics after that win last night, and again, we touch on the Red Sox briefly, all of that. Feel free to do so here. We'll do your calls largely.
Is this a Globe takedown of the Patriots?
Could be.
Shocking.
So yeah. Again, I mean, obviously it just landed. Murray's giving...
Is Bob Holler the writer?
It is. It's a Holler bomb.
Oh.
So
anything, shocker. So, when are the Red Sox going to write about themselves? Oh, wait, that's right. They hate the Patriots.
Murray, are you deep into this already?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of what we've heard, but now it's actually in print. I mean, here's the real meat of it. Guerrero is now banned from boarding Patriots jets. His sideline access has been revoked. He is no longer permitted to treat players other than Tom Brady in his exclusive office at Gillette Stadium. The development has created some friction in Foxborough, where Belichick and Brady have collaborated over 18 years, blah, blah, blah. But the coach and quarterback, in keeping with their tradition, have refused to publicly address this potentially distracting topic, in this case, Guerrero's diminished status. There was another good quote here. Belichick indicated to the team's medical and training staffs at the time his hands were tied because of Brady's special status with the franchise. According to a source with direct knowledge of Belichick's exchange with staffers, the source said Belichick told those who complained about Guerrero, "Tom wants him. What am I supposed to do?" So that's as far as I've got here. I still got a bunch to read.
Okay, so Murray will keep us updated on that story, but a lot of the hearsay rumors, if that's what you want to call it, up to now being...
What we've been doing for months, actually.
Yes, being validated by Bob Holler of the Boston Globe. Sal is in Portland, Maine, wants to talk about the Patriots. Go ahead, Sal.
Hi, Tony. I'm changing subjects quick because I've been waiting so long. I'm still furious over the Stanton deal where they made no effort to get him. The Red Sox stuck in Boston. According to his bio, he's part Puerto Rican, part black, part Irish, with an Italian first name. He could have been a god, potentially.
Okay, so, Sal, listen, with all due respect, honestly, and I hear what you're saying, he's, you know, multiracial, multi-ethnicity, you know, whatever. I don't care about any of that. I really don't.
He's a 28-year-old with 60 home run potential.
Bingo.
That's what matters.
I mean, the rest of it doesn't matter. It really shouldn't matter. Who cares? So, now look, if you're telling me from a marketing standpoint, great. But I think the reason he's marketable is because he hits 60 home runs, as Murray said. It's really the only part of the thing I care about. Murray, you got something else?
No.
Oh, all right.
No,
I'm trying
to also contribute and also read. I'm trying to multitask.
Yeah, you don't have to contribute. Just read. Danny's in Quincy. Danny, what do you got?
You know, I wanted to get on when Bedard was on. I tried. But, you know, when he said that, if they had lost the game, Matt Patricia would have got his comeuppance for that two high shell signal coverage, all that
robber
crap.
Single high robber.
Why do they have to lose the game in order for Matt Patricia to get raked over the coals? He should have been raked over the coals for the entire defensive scheme that he designed, that he drew up. Once again, the defense, Tony. And as far as the breaks go, you don't think the Patriots have gotten this year breaks over the last, I don't know, Seattle gave him a gift, Atlanta gave him a gift, this year Denver gave him a gift with the muff punt, Tyrod Taylor threw one right to the linebacker after an 8-minute drive. I mean, Miami, they got creamed in Miami. I mean, give me a break, Oakland. The guy held the ball up for everybody to take on that drive. They were coming back down and then getting back into the game.
Okay, so Danny, wait a minute. Are we really going to equate the mistake in Denver to the one in Pittsburgh? Do you think Denver is going to beat the Patriots?
No, but what I'm saying is they've gotten plenty of breaks. Now, if you're comfortable winning a Super Bowl this year, you are certain that the Patriots are going to play lousy, especially on defense. How could you ever not criticize the defense? They gave up 17 and 19 in the two Super Bowls against the Giants, and you're all over them. And the defense is 10 times worse this year. Hey, and you let them off the hook. After that performance.
Who's letting him off the hook, me?
You are.
Based on what?
85 beers 3 weeks in a row, and they stunk against Miami. They stunk in this game. Pittsburgh got over 400 yards of offense against this defense. And I can't believe it. And why shouldn't Matt Patricia get his comeuppance? They're going to have to. And by the way, the offense too. If you believe that football is a team sport, the ultimate team sport, if you still believe that, and you think they can win on just Brady and Gronkowski, you got another thing coming.
Danny, look, I don't think anybody's letting the defense off the hook. Murray, you letting the defense off the hook? I need you to contribute.
No, I thought that they've sucked mostly for really most of the year, especially the run defense. But it looked better, and I think a lot of people, myself included, kind of got fooled with the games against Denver and Oakland. Like, okay, the Patriots are back. We don't have to really worry about the defense all that much. But I don't know. There's been an issue there all year. The run defense has been bad all year. It's not going to improve.
I mean, again, they've allowed more yards per rush than any team in the league. Murray has said this consistently. So, Danny, honestly, I don't know. The defense did get better there for a little while. Now, granted, they didn't play anybody. But this game, you could easily look at it and say, they really gave up 31 points to a team that didn't have its best player on offense in Antonio Brown. Okay, you could say that. So I don't think anybody's coming out of this game feeling great about the Patriots. They feel great about the win and the fact that the games are here. But there was enough in that game, certainly, for you to look at and go, as Greg Bedard did, that they are beatable. And what Danny was referencing at the beginning, Juju
Smith-Schuster.
Yes. The 69-yard catch. Bedard maintains that the Patriots were in the wrong defense.
Yeah, they played man.
Okay. And also they had a single high safety. Typically they play with two back there.
That's a robber.
They only had one, and Bedard gave us the football lexicon mumbo jumbo. But nonetheless, Bedard said that they were in the wrong defense and put that 100% on Matt Patricia.
So just real quick, I've now gone through this Globe Patriots hit piece. Bill Belichick curbs privileges of Tom Brady's associate Alex Guerrero. And
yep.
What I said earlier, that's the meat of it. A lot of it is rehashing the shady past of Alex Guerrero. But again, the meat is, for reasons he's declined to explain, Bill Belichick weeks ago stripped Alex Guerrero of his special team privileges, restoring a measure of tradition to the team's medical and training operation, according to several people familiar with the Patriots' internal operations. Guerrero is now banned from boarding Patriots jets. His sideline access has been revoked. He's no longer permitted to treat players other than Tom Brady in his exclusive office at Gillette Stadium.
Okay, so I have a big question as it pertains to this story, and I'm just going by what you have told me, Murray. Okay, again, this thing broke just at the top of the hour, so I haven't even had a chance to read it. I'll try to do that during the break, at least as much as I can, because there was one part in particular that you read that I think is interesting and suggests that maybe this isn't as simple as everyone, or as this story portrays it to be.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Thanks for ending your work day with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Do you have a rule for your players when it comes to handling the football down by the goal line, or a strongly worded suggestion about how you should approach the goal line and whether to extend or not extend?
Yeah, we talk about everything that's football related. Situations, ball security, all those things. We go over all the situations. There are a lot of different ones. They're not all quite the same, but we cover them and make sure that they understand what we would want to do in different situations.
I'm not sure anyone asked him about Alex Guerrero today. That question has come up. Belichick has declined to address it. Brady has declined to address it. Both of them on their weekly interviews with our competitors here just across the way. And now let me just say quickly on that whole ball security thing, there was a Mike Lombardi tweet yesterday that Murray has read multiple times saying that Patriots players have been told that they would be benched if they lunged for the goal line or exposed the ball. Or
Patriots players are forbidden from extending at the pylon or falling across the goal line in process of a catch. Belichick has made it clear they'll be benched.
Okay. Well, interestingly enough, I have a bunch of photos that show Patriots players lunging for the end zone and the pylon. I tweeted them out a while ago. So this idea that they would be benched is complete bullcrap. Okay, yet again, sort of embellishment of this idea that the Patriots take it a step further than everybody else. So I don't doubt that Belichick emphasizes this. The question is whether or not he would really go through on a benching. The point is, Patriots players have done it too. Okay, Patriots players have done it too. Maybe they do it less than everyone else. I will allow for that. but we have photos, documentation of Patriot players jumping for the pylon and the goal line, exposing the ball. So let's not go too far with that. We do want to get back to this story that just landed on the Boston Globe website a little while ago, that Bill Belichick has indeed blocked Alex Guerrero from the facility at Foxborough. And, well, Murray, why don't you read the exact paragraph that you read a little while ago on the air?
Yeah, so the meat of this from Bob Holler of the Boston Globe. For reasons that he has declined to explain, Bill Belichick weeks ago stripped Alex Guerrero of his special team privileges, restoring a measure of tradition to the team's medical and training operation. According to several people familiar with the Patriots' internal operations, Guerrero is now banned from boarding Patriots' jets. His sideline access has been revoked. He is no longer permitted to treat players other than Tom Brady in his exclusive office at Gillette Stadium.
Okay, so when that last sentence, he's no longer allowed to treat players other than Brady in his office at Gillette Stadium, it doesn't mean he can't treat players. He just has to do it at his own facility. So let's make that part clear, that some of these guys are still going to Guerrero outside of team hours, and that that is not at all unusual in the world of sports. Okay, these guys go to outside people all the time for strength, conditioning, training, anything, any one of nutrition, any one of a million things. In the case of Guerrero, he can still do it. There's no way for the Patriots to ultimately prevent that. He just can't do it in the confines of the Patriot facility, and they won't let him in there anymore. And it says that Belichick blocked him. Right, Murray? That's right. The way the story is phrased?
I guess I hadn't. The other thing that stands out to me is I guess I hadn't considered this, is with all the players, including Brady, that have gotten all this treatment at the TB12 Center, Guerrero treated the players there with his alternative methods, and the TB12 Center billed the Patriots for his services. I hadn't considered that. Then imagine that if you're Belichick, and, you know, I guess it's not like Belichick's doing the books, or even if it's the Crafts. Whoever gets that, you get that bill, you got to be like, what? Don't we have a training staff? Like, we know Tom is obsessed with this guy, but are you kidding me? We got to pay this?
So again, the Patriots ultimately, Murray, were appeasing Brady on this, right?
I understand.
Right. For a long time, they appeased Brady to the point where they paid the bills. This guy came in and they paid for their players to do it on their time, right? So now I want to read you another section in the story, that Massachusetts state regulators stepped in when Guerrero began doing business with Brady at the TB12 Center. While Guerrero treated Patriots players and other clients there, investigators looked into allegations that he was practicing physical therapy without a license. He was cleared of wrongdoing in a 2014 letter instructing him to abide by state regulations while supervising licensed therapists at the TB12 Center. Okay, so there's a timeline there that in 2014, he was cleared of wrongdoing, is what it says.
Right.
Then this paragraph to me is interesting. Belichick indicated to the team's medical and training staffs at that time, that his hands were tied because of Brady's special status with the franchise, according to a source with direct knowledge of Belichick's exchange with the staffers. Okay, and then Holler goes on to write, and there are no quote marks here, but effectively Holler is paraphrasing. Holler continues, the source said, Belichick told those who complained about Guerrero, Tom wants him, what am I supposed to do? Okay, so that's in 2014. We are now in 2017. Tom still wants him, and Belichick is blocking Guerrero from being there. So what happened in between to make Belichick say, go from point A, which was, what am I supposed to do? Tom wants him. To now saying, screw you, Tom, he's out. You follow me, Murray?
Yeah.
So something happened in between there.
Well, what do you think it is?
I don't know. And look, and clearly Holler tried to find out. I'm not telling you I know. I'm just telling you, think of the contrast there. In 2014, medical staffers were complaining 3 years ago about this guy. And Belichick threw up his hands and says, well, what do you want me to do about it? Tom wants the guy. Okay? Now it's 3 years later and Belichick's acting? Why? Why is Belichick acting now when he wouldn't act 3 years ago? So look, now Holler says,
he's lost his insurance policy in his next quarterback.
Okay, but wouldn't that be more reason to keep Brady happy?
No, I think in 2014, the reason he probably threw...
see what you're saying.
I'm just reading into this. If in 2014, he says, Tom Watson, what am I supposed to do? ... because it's all a matter of time before Tom is going to be done. So is this before... when's the timeline here?
And he has Garoppolo to leverage Brady.
Right. and it's if this happened, did this happen pre-2014? And he looks at those first couple of games, and maybe deep down, bit like, I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff at the wall here. Bill says, well, here he is. He's falling off the cliff finally, so what do I have to look here? Another season or two, and I have my guy in waiting. So fine, I'll pull it up with this BS and this snake oil salesman who keeps wanting to work on my quarterback and all these other players, but it's all a matter of time before he's going to be gone. I can flush them all out, and I can start anew with this quarterback and Jimmy Garoppolo. But now that Garoppolo's gone, Bill gets to be a little bit more of a hard ass about it because, okay, Tom, we're here. We're appeasing you. It's not you. Now you don't have to worry about anyone trying to potentially take your job, even if you got injured. But if Garoppolo's going to go, I'm going to be more of a hard ass on this. Your little binky doesn't come to get to be on the sideline or do any of these road games with us anymore.
So this is his way to leverage Brady. In one way, shape, or form, right? It's not perfect apples to apples. But Garoppolo's not there anymore. That was his leverage against Brady before. Now Garoppolo's gone, so get your trainer out of here. Screw you. Right? He pisses Brady off, and I don't know, maybe in his mind he thinks that maybe that keeps Brady on edge and he plays better. I don't know. Again, I'm throwing crap against the wall like you are. So Holler says in the story, the reasons are unclear. I would love to know what the real reason is, as we all would. Or did something happen with some other player on the team that Guerrero suggested, you know, there'd be a certain path or a route of care and that the team disagreed and Guerrero went out and the guy got hurt? You
yeah,
see
I
what
you.
I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe Guerrero got someone hurt. Maybe somebody's injury didn't get better. And maybe Belichick finally said, screw this, I'm done with this guy. Get him out of here. The other thing I just find the change shocking. Since when did Bill Belichick, think of that line, and again, it's not in quotes. Belichick told those who complained about Guerrero, Tom wants him, what am I supposed to do? So Brady's got more power than Belichick?
Well, think what he means to the franchise and the Crafts. I mean, he's not a dummy. He understands that.
Okay, so it just strikes me as Belichick didn't want to fight that fight. He can tell people on the staff, what do you want me to do? Tom wants him. But if Belichick wants to go to battle over something, then he goes to battle over it.
Yeah, but at that point, like that's what I'm getting at. At that point, it's not worth him fighting if he thought at that point in 2014, it's all a matter of time before Brady falls off the cliff and he'll be gone and I can start anew with Jimmy Garoppolo.
So, Murray.
So, why fight it?
Okay, so, and ultimately, maybe you're right. Maybe it's tied to Garoppolo. Maybe that's the change. Maybe that is what has triggered this whole thing. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm trying to think it out.
Again, that's just speculation on my behalf.
Okay.
But I can understand if I'm in his shoes at that point, like, it ain't even worth fighting. Because I know what he means to the franchise. I know what he's meant to me in helping us get these titles. And certainly what he means to the Kraft and the fan base. So I'm not going to bother. It's not like I can go upstairs to Robert and say, you know, I know what he means to Tom and pick that fight now. Like, that would have made no sense if he thought, deep down, Brady's got X amount of time left, and he thought that was imminent.
Okay, so I'm glad you said if he went up to Robert and said. It's the other thing I wonder about in this story. This whole thing says that Belichick made the decision. Were the Crafts involved in it? Did the Crafts have a say? I mean, ultimately, they're the ones writing the checks. If the Patriots are paying Guerrero for the treatment of the other players on the team at Foxborough, not at the TB12 Institute, at Foxborough when Guerrero's on Patriots property, if Kraft is the one writing that check, then I have to believe that somewhere along the line they were involved in this. And when I say involved, I'm not saying like they're guilty of anything. If I frankly,
no, from a financial standpoint, if I'm in there, so let me put myself in there those people's shoes. If I'm the Krafts or their bookmaker, and I look at this and say, okay, we're paying a training staff that we employ, but say 25 to 30 players are going to Alex Guerrero and we're essentially paying another training staff in this kook who we thought was just working with the quarterback. What are we doing? We're paying two training staffs? This is insane.
So the story, again, makes it sound like Brady versus Belichick or Belichick versus Brady, that Belichick didn't want Guerrero there anymore and he pulled the plug on it. And I just wonder whether it's that simple. I just wonder if whether the Crafts were somewhere in the process there, too. I say involved. I mean, in the process. When you say involved, sometimes it makes them sound like they committed a crime. Like, and I'm not saying that, because if it were me, I wouldn't want this guy anywhere near my players. I have a medical staff. Do it on your own time. I'm not letting this guy in the building to appease my quarterback, just like I wouldn't let an outside coach come in. Like, same deal. Let's say there's someone who thinks he can help Brady with his mechanics. that comes in and undermines what the coaching staff is doing. You're going to let that guy stick around? No way. Not in a million years.
Now, do you mean that more from the training methods perspective or the financial aspect of it? Because to me, it's the latter. If I owned this team and I was paying out twice for something I really should only be paying out once for in a training staff, I would be pissed.
Okay, so the expenditure feels like less of an issue to me because if it's something you believe in, Murray, relatively speaking, what's the cost really? I mean, the Patriots are worth how many billion now? 3.5? Like, I don't even know what the latest Forbes evaluation is, but it's astronomical. So if they're paying this guy, call it, I don't know, $1 million a year. I don't know what the number is. Small change. Small potatoes.
Yeah, but you know how they act. They don't even want to put in sideline cameras.
Okay, but again, in the grand scheme of things, if you believe in it, fine. No problem. But if he's undermining other people that you are paying and that you believe in, that to me, there's no price on that. Get your ass out of here. They can go see you on their own time. When they're here, we own them. Don't start undercutting the stuff that we do. So again, what caused it? And is it simple as Belichick pulling the plug on it? Because I have a hard time believing it is. I have to believe somewhere along the line Belichick consulted the Krafts, or they agreed with them, or somewhere along the line there that ownership was active in the process. There's no way this went on without ownership being involved in it on some level.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Is he there in Pittsburgh today? And do you guys have any specific policy or protocol on people who are not team employees, you know, traveling with the team to away games?
I got to Pittsburgh about an hour ago, so I don't know whether he's here or not. I haven't seen him, but that doesn't mean he's not here. But I got to the stadium about an hour ago, I should say. I got to Pittsburgh about an hour and a half ago. I haven't seen him here.
Just to add on to that, Jonathan, just based on your comments about it, it sounds like he's not banned. He's still around. He still works with your players. It wouldn't be surprising for you to see him in Pittsburgh today.
Absolutely. I've seen him in the building each of the last couple weeks. And I believe he works with a number of our players. So I think all of that's accurate.
So Patriots ownership is not quoted in this story. That was written by Bob Holler on the Globe website that landed 40 minutes ago or so. It was right around 5 o'clock, Murray, right?
Yeah.
As we were swinging at the top of the hour. And just the story goes into detail about many things that we've talked about on these airwaves. Felger's had a disdain for Alex Guerrero for a long time. Rightfully so. This guy sounds like a shady character. And the Patriots now appear to be, or not appear to be, certainly have distanced themselves from Guerrero. Certainly Bill Belichick has. And the Krafts are mentioned a little bit later in the story. And so I just want to read this part quickly. Some of Guerrero's training practices have remained at odds with traditional practitioners. When the New York Times Magazine asked him in 2015 if the philosophies of conventional team trainers ever clashed with his methods, Guerrero said most of the time. Quote, most of the time. Bob Holder of the Globe then continues. Patriots chairman and CEO Robert Kraft told the Times that Guerrero's role with the team, quote, doesn't come without its challenges, end quote. And then Kraft continues. But we have a coach that's accepting, and we have a leader of the franchise who's driving it, Kraft said. Presumably by leader of the franchise, he means Brady?
Seems that way, yeah.
I mean, who's driving these? Got to mean
if
Brady.
If he's already mentioning Bill, then he means the leader in the franchise. And yeah,
okay, so again, we have a coach that's accepting. So that was in 2015. Bill Belichick is no longer accepting. Alex Guerrero has been banned from the Patriots facility. You heard Jonathan Kraft say there, he still works with many of our players, which is true. He just doesn't do it on the Patriots grounds. He does it at TB12. According to the story, the only player he's allowed to treat at the stadium in his office is Brady. Everyone else must now deal with Guerrero at the TB12 Institute, which, as Holler points out, is a 10-minute walk or a short shuttle ride away. So just interesting story that has landed on the Boston Globe website, written by Bob Holler, going into depth about many of the things that we've talked about on these airwaves. I know that Greg Bedard has brought it up and was one of the first to really address it on these airwaves, and also the Seth Wickersham story in ESPN goes into detail about the conflict between Brady and Alex Guerrero. And maybe this is the reason this whole thing has gone the way it's gone, Greg, because Wickersham wrote that in the wake of the Garoppolo deal, that, and he perceived the Garoppolo deal as a vote of confidence for Brady and the TB12 method, comes in the middle of a conflict between the Patriots and Guerrero, with Guerrero blaming the team's trainers for injuries that some of his clients have suffered, and with Belichick making it resoundingly clear that Guerrero has no actual role on his staff. So maybe that's what it was, that Guerrero started blaming the team for injuries to other guys, and Belichick said, enough. That's it. You know, we're not dealing with this clown anymore. Our buddy Mike in Woburn. Mike, go.
So let me get this straight. We have another hit piece from Bob Holler, and it coincides with what? The Red Sox doing absolutely nothing in the postseason to build their team. You don't think this is a coincidence that the Red Sox are shopping at the 5-10 for free agents, and Bob Holler is loading up on the Patriots once again. They've got a track record of doing this now. They hammered Brady at a time to coincide with his visit with the White House, and now when the Red Sox are Sleeping Beauty in the offseason, and they don't want Dombrowski spending a dime, they want to make their rivals across town, who are once again in the hunt for a championship, look like crap.
Okay, so Mike, listen, hold on for a second. You might be right. Okay, you might be right. Did John Henry own the team when the Terry Francona piece came out? Do you remember the Terry Francona hit piece in 2011?
Oh, of course I do. And I remember John Henry saying, I'm going to get to the bottom of whoever gave this information that was privileged information for Francona to Bob Holler.
Okay, but
Is his investigator out with OJ looking for the real killers?
Okay, but Bob Holler wrote the story, right? It made the Red Sox look bad.
Right. Well, no, it made Francona look bad so the Red Sox could get rid of him.
Okay, so I didn't consider it in those terms. I think it blew up in their faces. I think it made the Red Sox look bad.
At the time, they thought they were smearing the beloved Terry Francona, who they still love.
There was a massive backlash from that. Now, look, maybe. I mean, again,
Yeah, but they're not smart enough to realize that, Tony.
Okay, so I'm not ruling that out. Again, I'm not ruling that out. But so maybe someone assigned the story to Holler, but I think Holler generally is pretty good on the investigative stuff.
Look, what he wrote.
And the other thing is, who's really getting hit by this? Is it the Patriots or is it Guerrero? Do the Patriots look bad on this? Because I don't think they do. I think the Patriots are right. That guy shouldn't be in there. It doesn't smear the Patriots. I don't think the Patriots are smeared at all.
I understand where Mike is coming from. I don't think that there's kind of odd timing because the Red Sox have sat in their hands and done nothing this offseason, and that's why this thing posted today. This whole thing, there's really nothing new. We've heard this. Greg Bedard's talked about this. This isn't really like groundbreaking information here. It's just now in print. What it is, and I think, you know, Greg and others probably could have written on this. They're just waiting for confirmation from another source. That's just my speculation on it. And maybe Bob just now, as Bob Holler's talked to a couple more people, he felt confident with it, and so he wrote it. But this has been out there.
Yeah, absolutely it has been, Murray. And I'm not here to defend the Red Sox, believe me when I tell you. But I think that there's a legit...
No, that's the last thing I want to do.
There's a legit story here. Bob Holler wrote it, and Alex Guerrero, to me, is the guy who looks shaky in this. Shaky. Let's go to Tim, who's in his car. Go ahead, Tim. Tim,
hey,
go!
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about the timeline of this story, right? It said a few weeks back, Belichick took the privileges away. We're just about 6 weeks from the trade deadline. I really think Jimmy G's departure... Belichick is just kind of throwing it out the door. He doesn't need to appease Tom anymore because he's got the heir apparent in waiting. He's just kind of going for it and says, you know, wants to take control of the team back because he feels like he might have lost a little bit.
Okay.
Your thoughts on that?
So, Tim, I'll tell you what. Murray, hold tight because I know you believe that, Tori. Or let me say that you suggested that as well. Ryan's in the north end. Go, Ryan.
Hey, Tony. I feel like everyone's missing the big point here. Like, Guerrero's been working with Brady for numerous years, right?
Yes.
And all this time, he's been totally healthy. And building off Tim's point, we trade Jimmy G, and what happens? We have an Achilles issue. Everyone's saying he's had a hurt hand. It's obvious that Guerrero's been hiding injuries of Brady's because he doesn't have to go to the training staff with the Patriots and now we trade Jimmy G, and all these injuries are coming up, and Belichick's pissed.
Okay, so that's another theory that somehow Brady has hidden this stuff.
Everyone's hiding injuries throughout the league.
Okay, and the other thing is, I don't get the sense that, I mean, Brady gets banged up lots of years. Right, he got hit last year in the leg, and we wondered whether there was something wrong with the leg, and Garoppolo was here. Right, so I don't think anything gets quote-unquote hidden. I think Belichick is aware of it. But if Guerrero is undermining people on the medical staff, then Belichick's going to get pissed, and to me, rightfully so. But Murray, the connection to Garoppolo, again, explain your theory.
So in this story, it was Belichick said in 2014, right, that Tom wants him, there's nothing I can do. When others throughout the, you know, others on the team had expressed some concerns about Alex Guerrero, can you get rid of him? Bill Belichick essentially throws his hands up in the air and says, Tom wants him, what am I supposed to do? You asked, well, does that sound like anything that Bill Belichick would ever do? And I understand where you're coming from. But in 2014, if we're talking before the season, and he's watched this guy, and there was questions if there would be drop in his play at that point. Hadn't been to a Super Bowl since 2011. Going into 2014, those first couple of games, if you're Bill Belichick and you saw how Brady played, especially after the Kansas City game, wouldn't you start thinking, well, here he is. He's hitting the wall. Good thing I drafted that quarterback. I have a guy in waiting. So you know what? I'm not going to fight this.
Not a battle worth fighting.
And with the Crafts and trying to get Guerrero out of here, because it's all a matter of time. Tom's hit the wall. He's old. So he'll be gone. I have my guy that I believe in Jimmy Garoppolo, and that'll be my quarterback going forward. So I'm not going to fight it. Because once Tom's gone, Guerrero's gone, I can flush it all out and start anew. That's just my theory.
Look,
that's why I think he probably didn't fight it then. But who knows?
Yeah, it's as good a theory as any, Murray. Really.
Or maybe because it's the quarterback and it's Tom Brady that Kraft gets final say over Tom Brady, and maybe there's another player like, say, Gronk. So Bill has control over 51 of the 53-man roster.
Yeah, so the way the whole thing is going down, I have a hard time believing that all of a sudden, 3 years later, Bill Belichick just woke up and changed his mind without the Krafts being consulted on some level and without some sort of massive trigger in there that set this thing off. And again, maybe it's as simple as what was in the Wickersham story, that Guerrero started blaming trainers for injuries, and Belichick said, you know what? I'm done with this. Garoppolo's gone, and this guy's not going to run roughshod anymore. Like, forget it. No. And they kicked his ass out. Maybe it's that simple. Maybe we can ask Paul Perillo that tomorrow. He'll love that.
I'll tell you right now, and let me just ask you real quick, as a Patriots fan, like, I'm a little nervous if this is something that could potentially derail the season because it gets ugly behind the scenes, but do you think that that's a possibility?
See, I think they can get through it. I do, and I'll tell you why. Ultimately, Murray, these things happen in franchises often. Maybe not super often, but it's not that uncommon for there to be some sort of battle over, you know, where a guy's getting his kids. Sort of the politics that come along with any team and in any organization, really. The difference with the Patriots is that we never hear of them. They never let it get public. Belichick's great at that, and this one got out. Now, you can say, well, the fact that it got out, maybe that's an indication of how severe it is, maybe. But I still think at the end of the day, when they go on the field, that they can win games. They went on Sunday, as Bedard pointed out. Final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what, are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Mass's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Mass, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Come on, McCone.
I know. I'm getting there. All right. The final word brought to you by Town Fair Tires. Looking for the best prices on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody, McCone.
Jimmy, you know what? McCone's like the, you should be working for the Steelers because like them, he's not ready.
Just completely panicked there.
Go ahead, McCone.
All right. Well, a big day here on Felger and Mass. We had the return of Carlton.
Yeah.
And he had a few things to get off his chest. Oh.
Eventually, we reconnect with old friends, often at this time of year, Greg. The holidays do that. You sort of people start to bury the hatchet.
Oh, sure.
And you mend fences, and you connect with people you haven't seen in a while. Isn't that right, Carlton?
I decided to temporarily suspend my over 2 month boycott of the show because I believe that Bedard has at least one bone in his body that's objective. I'd like him to comment on it.
Before you get to your football point, let me just ask you, should I read into the fact at all that you called today when Felger's not here?
That's part of it as well, and it has nothing to do with the reasons why you guys said I'm boycotting the show. My real reason why I'm boycotting the show. We can get to that at another time.
It's me.
Because I want to ask that objective Greg Bedard to comment on 3 points. Point number one.
Make it quick, Carlton.
You get one.
Yeah, Game's a catch. Third down catch, which preceded guard. Go and look at what the definition is in the rule. All he had to do, once he gained possession, in other words, once he secured control of the ball and had either 2 feet or one other body part down, which he did with the knee.
5 seconds, Carlton. 5 seconds.
All he had to do was turn up field.
That's the end of time expired.
Carlton, call back. Okay, don't
I will. I promise I will. I know the rule book, section 122. I know. And Jesse James was a runner. He was also a cowboy outlaw. He was a mean, dirty killer.
It was good to hear from him again.
Yeah, don't be such a nudge, Carlton, you big baby.
I actually enjoyed hearing from him.
Me too. I liked hearing from Carlton. We'll talk to you again in, like, February, Carlton.
Useless. He likes hearing himself, too.
All right, it's also Tuesday, which means that Greg Bedard was in studio, which also means that we had another edition of 10 Questions.
Sort of loses its... Who would be a good owner for the Panthers? And please don't say Dave Tube.
Oprah.
Oh.
I like that idea. Is she interested?
She should be.
Referee Gene Steratore actually used an index card to help determine whether there was a first down. What would be a better tool for actually measuring such a distance?
They should have taken his middle finger and put that in and then called a first down.
What the hell?
NFL Coach of the Year, who deserves to win it?
Sean McVay.
Mike Zimmer deserves to win it.
Yeah, my vote's for Mike Zimmer.
What?
You two fight it out later. Go, Jimmy. Should Pete Carroll be in trouble?
No.
The guy who could really get exposed here is Russell Wilson. Murray wants to know why you continue to discredit the Rams. Then I saw her
face. Golf. But I am becoming a...
Should O'Brien keep his job?
Should he keep his job? Well, sort of. I think there may be some... I have my doubts.
Is Bortles still a liability for Jacksonville?
Yes.
Okay, you got to explain more than that. Did the Patriots make a mistake by trading Garoppolo?
They made a mistake when they traded him. I believe they should have traded him.
What is that? Number one, which NFL team do you think has the best track record of executing under duress?
I only have two.
Okay, we got to move.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yes.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.